بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Director General of FAO, Director General of WHO, Your Majesty, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. It does not feel right that I have the privilege and the honor to stand before you as UN Messenger of Peace for Hunger and Poverty when there are so many others who do so much more to address the issues that we're here to discuss today. There are so many dedicated individuals from the Food and Agriculture Organization, the World Food Programme, World Health Organization, and many other worthy organizations who serve people in need. I pray that I do them justice in conveying their messages and, most importantly, the plight of the hungry in good faith and in detail before such an eminent group as this. This is the second international conference on nutrition. It's the first gathering of its kind in the 21st century. And the problem that we are here to discuss is as old as mankind. As the agenda shows, these issues are complex and involve a broad spectrum of problems related to nutrition. The declaration for this conference details the human and societal devastation caused by malnutrition. I've seen that devastation many times and in many places. Ironically, it always looks the same. 4 months ago, I met a lady in Ethiopia. 10 days after she and her children had fled their home in neighboring South Sudan to escape ethnic violence. They had walked 15 kilometers without food or water under the constant threat of attack to seek shelter in an overflowing UN refugee camp outside Gambela. She had no clue where her husband was or whether he was alive. As she talked, she squatted in mud among hundreds of other women with a child in her lap, waiting for a bucket of food. She told me, "I'm a normal person, just like you. I had a normal life." And she clung to her dignity as though it were the only thing to get her through the hell that she was living in. I saw her on a good day when she was in line for food. Not really enough food, but food. What haunts me now is that she had to walk 10 kilometers every morning under the risk of being attacked to get water. I know she also risked sexual assault every night if she walked through the pitch dark to the latrines, and if she didn't take that risk, she would ruin the hygiene of her tent and put her children at risk of disease. But you know what really haunts me? Every time I make this kind of visit, the people who are suffering celebrate my being there. They see me as a source of hope. They smile at me. They sing for me. They sing for me. And they are starving. Other times, the people I meet give me hope. In Liberia earlier this year, I saw energetic and committed women overcoming hunger. They were planting crops, milling grain, and working their way out from under the shadow of food deprivation. I left Liberia optimistic about the country's future, especially after meeting with President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Then Ebola hit a few weeks later, and who knows what human potential has been lost to our world since then. Sometimes hunger shows itself in its most raw form, in its moment of utter triumph. I saw that side of hunger in Malawi, and she was ruthless. There was a family that I met. Hunger had already taken the father, leaving the mother to struggle at home alone with her 5 children, until finally hunger led them on their last journey to hospital. When I saw them, They were not so much children, but more skeletal beings stretched out in four metal beds around the mother, who cradled her youngest daughter in her arms. None of them had the strength to speak to me. A little grip and a soft welcoming look in the infant's eyes told me she was aware and waiting for the mercy of death. The mother showed no concern that she was also dying from AIDS. She waited patiently to see her baby into the next world before her. After I moved to the next room in the ward, I heard the sound of the deepest pain that only a mother would understand. When I came back, I saw the doctors carrying the dead child away in a black plastic bag. The mother moved again to the next bed to cradle her next youngest, hoping again that she would endure the pain of their passing before her own time came. It was as if this little girl, this tiny emaciated little soul with the enormous expressive eyes, had never ever been there. And hunger stalked the ward and decided who she would take next. Having seen these things I can never forget, I wholeheartedly agree with the conclusion in this declaration and this conference that malnutrition is a major challenge to sustainable development. That is certainly a true statement, but it does go farther. Malnutrition is not just a challenge to sustainable development. It is a threat to global security. It is a threat to all of us who eat well, who have no worries about feeding our families. There are two sides to malnutrition. On one side, the billion people or so who do not have enough to eat. And on the other side are the growing numbers of people who eat too much or eat too much of the wrong kinds of food. We live in a world of excess and want for those who have too much and those who have too little. In that regard, not much has changed since the first International Conference on Nutrition more than two decades ago. Pope John Paul II opened that earlier conference by decrying what he called the paradox of plenty, which left hundreds of millions hungry and malnourished despite the abundance of food. The 1992 conference came 3 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall and at the end of the Cold War and created an air of optimism. The final conference declaration predicted that the reduction of international tensions will give us an opportunity, as never before, to redirect our resources to the poor, deprived, and vulnerable. But today, conflicts around the world have displaced more than 51 million people, the highest number since comprehensive statistics were first recorded in 1989. And hunger is still with us. An estimated 805 million people suffer from hunger or undernourishment. About 160 million children under five suffer from chronic malnutrition. More than 50 million are wasting away from acute malnutrition. However, we do know more now than ever before about the effect of malnourishment on society and individuals. Anemia, a byproduct of malnutrition that impairs mental development, affects about 40% of children in the developing world. The WHO estimates that eradicating it would increase national productivity levels by up to 20%. Stunting has lifelong consequences, both physical and mental. So how do we address malnourishment and hunger? It starts by recognizing that we are not just saving millions of people. We are saving ourselves. It starts by attacking the problem of hunger as if our lives depended on it. We have to convince the nations of the world to spend as much on food aid as they do on weapons. His Highness Sheikh Mohammed, Vice President and Prime Minister of the United Arab Emirates, as well as ruler of Dubai, asked the right question when he said, "How can countries around the world spend over $1 trillion for armament as we fight over land, ideologies, religion, and let 300 million children starve. We have to transform the words in the Rome Declaration on nutrition into action. Action that makes a real difference in the lives of people who do not have enough food. We have to focus first on the people who need the most help, those in the inner circle of hunger and poverty who are struggling to survive. We urgently need to address malnutrition, just as we can never forget that hunger is the main root cause. We must address malnutrition just as we address obesity, but realize that they are two different evils. This declaration addresses these issues, but it is not the black and white words on the page that will help the hungry and malnourished in our world. Far from it. It is only when you take action that will allow the lost souls the rights that they deserve. Unless you decide to act, unless we decide to act, we face a fate of joining the ranks of that cruel, cold draft of wind that was so ruthless and called herself hunger. We will become her hand, and we will become her instrument. I can only end by saying, I tried to learn the name of the little girl in Malawi, because selfishly, it would have offered me some comfort to tell her mother that I would never forget her name. But the answer that hunger gave me through the lips of her mother was terrifying. She said, I wanted to name her, but what was the point? She was just my baby. I knew she was going to die. Thank you.